Let us pray. May the words that we share together this morning help us to affirm our faith in you, the one who is the Word for us. Amen. Onarche kai he logos, kai he logos pros ton teon, kai le teon e le logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. That is the way that the Greek of John's Gospel introduces the Gospel. I use that as an example of how words in translations sometimes get distorted, because when the King James Committee sat down to translate this particular verse, they switched the third line around. So most of us are familiar with the opening of John's Gospel in this way: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I can see that the scholars in the King James era thought, well, in the world of Shakespeare, this is poetic. In the beginning, the Word, the Word. But of course, in the Gospels, in their original language, often what is said first in a line is the most important part of the line. And so if we hear John putting the emphasis where John wants to put it, then the emphasis is in the beginning, Word, God. And we are the children of that Word. And our struggle as Christians is how to interpret that Word into our world. How do we live a faith that says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word? Not human beings, not language, God was the Word. How do we live our faith with that as a prologue to it? So in thinking about today's sermon, I offer a word of thanks to Reverend Nora for inviting me to preach on this day. My first thought was, oh no, it's the day before the election. No wonder Nora doesn't want to talk. If anyone is going to get in trouble from the pulpit on the day before the election, it better be a visiting minister who cannot be asked back. However, this is not my first federal election, or as someone said, it's not my first trip to the rodeo. What is really interesting is when I got the email from Reverend Nora, I had just finished looking on CBC webpage, which is where I tend to get most of my news, and there'll be some discussion about that soon. And there had been an article on the CBC about a professor in political studies from the University of Toronto who has the opinion that in the olden days, back in the 50s and the 60s and even the 70s, government exercised censorship as a way of hiding what governments are doing. They just didn't talk about it, and so nobody knew. This professor says that nowadays, governments use noise. And does that ever sound true to me at the end of an election campaign? Politicians in general use noise. But it isn't just the politicians, it's the internet. There is so much on the internet that requires our ability to filter through and to figure out what is true and what is false and what is simply scandalous and not necessary for us to know about, that it is noise. And sometimes I find the best way to avoid the noise is not to open my laptop, but to grab a book from my shelf and read, because Believe me, the book does not shout back at me. So, noise. The Tower of Babel. The story of a people who work together to build a tower. And I always remember as a child even, thinking over this story and thinking, but that's a good thing. People are working together and building something. And yet in this story, it's a bad thing. Because God has decided that these people want to be like God. Indeed, they want to invade God's realm, God's purview. And so they get scattered, and of course, different languages emerge. And again, I think I have an opposite reaction to most people about this idea of different languages, because for most people, that's a bad thing. Wouldn't it be better if we all spoke the same language? Easier, probably, yes. Better? I'm not so sure. Because in my years of studying different languages, I think that I have grown better in my understanding of English because I learned Latin and French in high school, relearned German in university, and also studied Greek and Hebrew. So I think my world has expanded because I am familiar with some of these languages. I can't say I'm fluent in them, not even in German anymore. I still need to look up in my dictionary if I'm writing to my cousin and want to say something in German and I want to get the right word. Because German is like English. You gotta find the right word or someone will misunderstand. But overall, having those different languages to me seems something that's a blessing, not a curse. So long as it's not a battle. So long as there is an opportunity to understand one another. And maybe that's the crux of the word. In the beginning was the word that helps us to understand one another. Whatever that word is, it is the power of understanding. And in the process of understanding one another, we begin to understand a little bit of what God is about in creation. We begin to understand a bit about the light, the love, and the development of community, and the essence of living and working together. Not for ourselves, but for our community. And in working for our community, we are working for the one who gives us the word. Indeed, not only who gives us the word, but who is the word. So that's the joy that I take out of this Babel story. And the comfort that I find from John's Gospel. And the other piece of comfort comes in the psalm. The psalm recognizes that there are people in the world who say mean things and who do mean things to other people. The psalm essentially says to us, you have a choice. You can get really upset and in turmoil about it, or you can let go and be yourself in all the positive goodness that you have in yourselves and not worry about the others. They are also in God's hands. And I don't know about you, but for me, that has been a hard lesson to learn because when I see something wrong, I tend to get quite worked up about it. And I tend to have some opinions. Well, one or two opinions anyway. And occasionally I want to talk to that person and straighten that person out. Because I'm right and that person is wrong. But that's not, in a sense, what the psalm is saying to me. The psalm is saying, be calm. Trust God. Be who you can be and never mind about the others. And that's a very hard lesson, I think, for all of us to absorb, because there is within us that instinct that wants to make everybody good, by our definition of good. But perhaps the best way of doing that is to be so ourselves. Don't ask why he is doing something or other, or why she is doing something or other. Ask, what can I do to make my world a better place in spite of what he or she is doing? How do I live the word that is God within my life? How do I not worry about building a tower, but instead just let my light shine in the world so that all can see and decide, this is something I want to be part of? That is a challenge. It is also the hope and the joy. And wherever we discover our word and however we live our world, may it be with an openness to our God who is the Word, and may it be with light and joy and faithfulness in living and echoing that Word in the world around us. Thanks be to God. Amen.